Outside, he'll join us today. Here, as always, with my friends, Chris, Allison. Topic, you know, whatever Allison dreams up. We talk about it for about 40 minutes, or until Zoom says you're done. That's how we roll.
This is true.
You can find us on the internet, binaryjazz.us. Find us on Twitter, binaryjazz.twitter. That's it. That's the intro.
I'm pretty happy that our Twitter is actually not binaryjazz.twitter.
Is there something horrible there?
No. I don't think that Twitter is anything, but I would not want to be on Twitter with...
Twitter is not anything. That is true. Yeah. Have you found your Twitter usage decreasing?
No. You know what? It was.
An increase.
It was, yeah. Seriously. And then I started following... Like, I've started following a few select, like, TTRPGers. And suddenly, now, like, my Twitter has... Because Twitter added topics, the same way that you can follow topics in Instagram. And so somehow it automatically subscribed me to the Dungeons & Dragons topic. So, like, fully 50% of my feed is all, like, D&D and, like, other tabletop RPG stuff. And then the rest is like the normal crap, politics and coding and like a small spattering of soccer related stuff. But like, it's much more readable now and it's much more enjoyable. And like the people that I follow or that I keep seeing in my feed and on Twitter that are in the TTRPG community are all like, inclusive and aware of diversity and like, so it's like actually like good stuff, not just like everything is horrible all the time stuff and like fuck everyone. So no, actually my Twitter usage has gone up recently.
I love that it kind of just happened. Like Twitter's like, we're gonna do you a solid and just sign you up for this.
Yeah, I mean, like
the first time in the history of Twitter.
It was really weird. Like I don't know that I necessarily like asked for it, but like now that it's here, I'm not going to make it go away. So
yeah. I'm going to have to look into that because there are definite topics that I'd like to just expand my Twitter feed with because it's been lessening a bit, but I also culled my Twitter feed a lot, which I really loved. It felt so good. I was just like, oh, I felt like cleaning out a closet or something. And I discovered, I discovered something called the soft block. So I felt very proud of myself for that.
What's the soft block?
Soft block is when you block someone who's following you and then you unblock them and then they are no longer following you.
Ooh. Oh, neat. Okay.
Because I had a few, I would say, hanger-ons that I was just like, I really don't even want you following me.
Sure.
And if I'm going to be honest, they follow like 10,000 people. So it's not like they're even going to miss me.
I, for like 2 weeks, I decided that I was just gonna like institute a 2-strike policy. Someone said something stupid once. Like I say stupid things all the time, but like if it struck me like twice in a week, like, oh, like this is like frustrating me or angering me, then unfollow, done. So I dropped, I don't know, a lot of people that are like in the WordPress space that I'm like, eh, fuck that particular person. Don't need their negativity or whatever.
It feels good.
It does. And so that was nice. And then Ether Rich, the billionaire that owns the Jags, has decided to move another game over to London, another home game over to London. So now the Jags play 6 home games in Jacksonville and 2 in London, which doesn't really matter. I mean, I have no vested interest in the team other than, like, they're such a big part of the Jacksonville community. And it really... Like, that was when my policy of blocking people that were bringing negativity into the world, like, blew up because that was 50% of people I follow were Jags fans who were, like, you know, kind of losing their minds So like maybe I just won't use Twitter. Like maybe I just block all of Twitter, and that's
like why that's not? It. If it's not bringing you any, if it's not bringing you any happiness, then
yeah, and certainly like this political season, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe come back after next year, or maybe not.
Maybe there is a next year.
I thought your ramble was going to be a nice way of telling me that you don't follow me on Twitter anymore.
Oh no, that would be like, if that ever happened, that would be like the lead conversation as to why.
Like, let's break this down. What did Allison tweet about? Did it have to do with cheese or tarot?
Oh no, I'm here for cheese takes. All cheese takes.
There's not enough cheese news.
A lot of many things in cheese.
Yeah.
Years ago, Chris, when you and I think you and I had the original conversation about people calling vegan cheese Gary.
Yes.
And I really wish that that had stuck. I feel like my name would be associated with something cool then, you know?
But was it meant to be?
No.
It should still be.
We can get it to catch on.
Yeah.
With our loyal listeners of three.
Our powers combined.
I made that number up. I don't actually know if it's three.
we have feedback from Danette, so we know we have at least one person besides Allison who listens to us.
Hey, what is the pink glowy thing behind you, or purple glowy thing behind you? Is that new?
The pink, yes, it is new. Okay. So
it's plus 1 point for Gary for powers of observation.
For noticing, yeah. Yeah. It is also rather obvious because it is kind of right by my head and glowing pink. What it
Let's
is...
Let's not diminish my successes, Chris.
I didn't notice.
Aaron was...
it's a grow box.
Yeah. Aaron was cutting up euphorbias because we have a bunch of mature euphorbias, and like one of them was like really leaning, and so she was like cutting parts off of it, and you can regrow them. That's how they reproduce, is if pieces fall off and they blow away, then they just replant themselves. So we have a whole bunch more euphorbias, like little things, and we kind of moved around the plant a little bit and got a couple other grow lights in other rooms. And so I said, well, I'll take some, put them in the office somewhere, but there's no light. Like, I mean, there's a window right there, which is great, but there's nothing for anything, like there's nothing in front of it. So like it needed something, otherwise you're just going to die anyway. So, got some grow lights. They're hanging off of the, whatever that thing is holding the curtains up, or in front of the curtains, and it's just hanging down, shining my little, UV lights on my tiny little euphorbias.
Several things. First, for the benefit of
people who don't know what desert plant is,
what is euphorbia?
A euphorbia is a type of desert plant.
That was my topic for today, you guys.
they can grow pretty big. Typically, you get like a single stalk. It kind of is split into almost like a triangle. With like spikes coming out on each of the corners, and then they kind of get these branches that kind of come up. So you'll have like one sort of main stalk, and then you have a bunch of branches that kind of come up like that.
Yeah, beautiful plant.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, great. Are you concerned with the UV light blast in the back of your head all day?
No.
Okay, great. Today's topic.
Okay. Today's topic, which we may or may not have discussed already, because when you have that idea where you're like, this is such a good topic, and then I'm like, it's so good that we probably have even talked about it at some point. That's why I'm so smug inner-wise. Anyway, today's topic is orbiculum.
Orbiculum.
I'm like, have we
talked about it? Well, I mean, if we have, then I have no memory.
Great.
So that's fine.
I was about to say, if we've talked about orbiculum, I'm going to feel really dumb when I probably make the same guesses this episode that I did the last time we talked about it, but I don't recall it.
I had this like inner like, oh, this is such a good topic that I was just like, this is the type of feeling I get when I just am not remembering something.
Well, yeah. You know, there's an easy way of finding out if we've discussed a topic.
Well, I did, and then
do a search on binary jazz.
I searched it, and then a different episode came up, and I was like, "Oh, maybe we discussed it in that episode." But then I checked the show notes, and it wasn't mentioned, so I don't really know why it came up.
You're like, it turns out the WordPress search sucks.
Hey, WordPress search doesn't suck; it just does what it's told.
Just.
I don't know why that means that it came up in search though. No.
Let's hook up Elasticsearch. We need Elasticsearch hooked up for our.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to replace
the search. We totally need Elasticsearch.
I wonder where I can get a cheap Elasticsearch instance now.
Can we talk about how our bots just keep being installed?
We should talk about our bots. I don't think we talk about our bots often.
We haven't talked about our bots in a long time, it's true.
If you've made it this far into this episode.
Or Big Yeah, Killer, where are we at? So we've got... Genrenator has accumulated 62 Slack teams have installed it at one point or another.
The thing to me that's the most amazing is it's generated about 500,000.
More than that. It's 822,653.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like I said, about.
It goes up roughly 100 new genres a day.
Hmm.
Which is, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was preparing... when I was submitting a talk for Bang Bang Con, which I didn't get accepted to, sadly, we were at like 600,000 because I was going to say something about it having generated 500,000 genres. But now it's more. Now it's almost 1,000,000. But the other one that's somewhat more impressive is Gary's Ground Control Bot. Which has been installed on 114 Slack teams at one point or another. And actually, those I feel like people will probably actually care. The Genrenator is one of those things where I think it goes in that, like, it's like one of those bots where, like, you install it in the background, then you forget that it's there. And then one day somebody's doing all the slash commands, like, slash genre, and then, Yeah.
I recently worked on a project for Ticketmaster and was really excited thinking Genrenator will come in handy for generating a bunch of sample taxonomies.
Hmm.
Never used it.
That's sad.
I installed it though. I feel like Ground Control Bot is one of those things where you're like, you're really happy with it until it starts telling you about like launches in a part of the world you don't care about. And you're like, gosh, how do I shut this thing up? So version 2, there will be a way to like say, I'm only interested in launches by the following providers or countries or, whatever.
My only qualm with it is that it alerts me and then I think, oh, Chris and Gary, you're saying something. And then I go in and I'm like, oh, it's telling me about a launch.
Can you not mute alerts from a single
thing? Yeah, you can mute a channel. Yeah.
I should, but what if you guys say something funny and random?
So of those 114, I think I'm only a member of 14 of the teams. I might be excited.
I will say that that the Genrenator Twitter account has 15 followers.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I follow? No, I do. I do.
And I do still quite enjoy
I occasionally retweet it because I find them just so satisfying. Occasionally one will pop up and I'll go, oh, this is just lovely. Or funny or unexpected or, it's not a genre that I expected to see today. That's a good thing.
What's the Ground Control Twitter handle? I know I've seen it because I know if I follow it.
Let's find out. I might need to go to the website to figure that out.
It's High Ground Control. HI Ground Control.
That sounds about right.
That I would believe Alice. That one's got 49 followers.
Ooh. I love bots. I think my feed is probably, I should calculate, but I'm guessing it's at least 15-20% bots. but it's so great. Like my Bowie bot, I haven't touched that in so long and it still brings me such joy.
Your Bowie bot did something really weird the other day, I noticed. Like, it came up and it was like,
oh, no.
Tuesday, 14 January, comma, 00, comma, 05, comma. Like, it was like, huh. must be some like special days section that it just broke on or something.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I should pay more attention to it, but.
But yeah, normally I have that same thing. Like there's something that it did. I don't know. It tweeted something from outside recently and I was like, yes. And it made no contextual sense anyway. But I was like, yes.
I often use it as a jumping off point for my soundtrack for the day. So like, I'll be like, oh yeah, what song is this? Okay, great. And then I like take the plunge down the rabbit hole.
So what's the topic?
Orbiculum.
Reticulated python. Oh, orbiculum. I knew it was something like that. I think I'm worried about Chris burning his orbiculum with those lights behind his head.
No, it's not. It's fine.
It's the skin, like the nape of your neck. Right there's your very orbiculum.
It's not actually that close either. It looks probably closer than it is.
That's true.
It's good. You're like, it's approximately 40 yards away. Wow, you're right. It is not as close as I thought.
It's several feet. Quite large.
Yeah.
You're like, those lights are as tall as I am. You just can't tell. It's a weird angle.
Your orbiculum is the place where your eyeball goes.
In
your skull. It's your orbiculum.
Isn't your orbiculum like a...
I feel like you might be right, even though I know you're not.
Isn't it tissue that covers so your right. brain? Separates your brain from your skull?
Maybe it's orbiculum. Morbiculum.
Huh.
I don't know. Now I'm second guessing.
Well, as we like to do, let's break it into parts.
Orbit. Or orbit.
Can I spell it for you?
No, but let's do that. Yeah.
All right. Orbuculum.
Wait.
Orbuculum.
Yeah.
So it could be orbuculum.
It could be.
Orbuculum. It's probably not that though. Probably not even close. Well, orb means like round, like ball kind of thing.
Right.
Euculum. Oculum.
Oculum. Ah, yes. Latin root oculum.
It's clearly the study of balls. Spheres.
I don't think it's a study of thing.
It's probably not.
Study of philosophy?
Yeah, probably.
It actually sounds like a medical instrument, doesn't it?
That's only because it. Yeah.
Oh, is it the thing you use to get a billiard ball out of someone's mouth?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
I didn't know that there is a specific implement for that.
There is. It turns out that a human mouth. It's possible to get, this is such a dumb thing for me to know. Initial disclaimer, I've never put a billiard ball in my mouth. However, yeah, it's possible to put a billiard ball in your mouth, but you cannot get it out because you can't get leverage behind it. So your jaw effectively holds it in place and I guess unless it's attached to a leather strap or something.
That's the thing that you would think before you put the billiard ball in your mouth is, oh, what I need to do first though, is put a leather strap in my mouth.
Yeah.
Just shove it right back in there, and then when I put the billiard bar in there, I can pop it out.
Billiard balls are heavy. I don't know if I...
Well, once it's in there, you don't have much of a choice because you can't get it out, so...
It's true.
Anyway, there's a medical implement that they use. Like, ERs have them, and it's like it's like a clamp that goes in there and grabs and... Ouch. Ugh. Makes my jaw hurt thinking about it. It's been sort of an embarrassing conversation.
I don't know that's what it is. Maybe an orbiculum is the implement that you use to no, I'm not even going to
forget about that conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate where you were headed, and I also appreciate that you reeled it in.
I was just going to go halvesies with you, Gary, but then I decided that was not something I wanted. That was not a road I wanted to go down.
Cool. I'm amazed that Allison has any idea where you're going, but...
Well, I have a hunch.
No.
That's good. Just call it my intuitive side.
I wonder if orbiculum is What does culum mean? Curriculum. Is it related? No, it's probably not related at all.
I like where you're going, although, but I have no idea what it would be.
Yeah, I don't know what culum or culum comes from. I haven't gotten to that section of Greek.
Was it Greek?
In the book.
The culum section.
Yeah. Well, clouds can be culonimbus.
I don't know.
Thank you for tuning into IGS Weather.
It's like when I try to say Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, I don't even try.
I told Aaron yesterday, like, there's no way that he would be able to win the presidency because nobody can say his name. Like, can you imagine, like, and now President Pete Buttigieg.
Maybe I'll challenge myself. Maybe that'll be my challenge this week, is to learn how to say it.
You can teach us.
Buttigieg.
Buttigieg?
Yeah, I've practiced.
You've practiced. Excellent.
I have, yeah.
Buttigieg.
My sister-in-law is a big Mayor Pete supporter. Or was a month ago. I don't know. Things change. You know.
It's a rapid election cycle.
Oh, wait. Maybe it was more than a month ago. Today's February, right?
Today is February.
It's higher today.
Any big February plans?
Besides RPM that I've been too sick to do.
You want to really rock in the funeral scene these days, you know.
No.
Digging that.
That seems like somehow appropriate for February, unfortunately, but.
Yeah.
Not in Florida.
No. It's like windy there behind you.
Can I tell you about my 28 hours in Cleveland last weekend?
Tell us about your 28 hours in Cleveland.
Oh, my gosh.
I want that
now for the section called DeGary's 28 hours in Cleveland.
I want that to be the name of your memoir.
28 hours in Cleveland?
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with that actual story.
That's a darn good name for my memoir. Where was I going? So I landed in Cleveland, which is in Ohio, for those of you keeping score at home. And it was snowing, which I don't know what to do with snow because, you know? And so I got out and I had packed like a little gym bag, which was like 70% a heavy jacket. And so I walk out and my parents are picking me up at the airport because they're already there. And I go, as you do at the airport, and I put on my jacket and I stepped out inside and it's like the snow was just falling. I'm standing there going, damn, it's really cold. I wonder how far away they are. And then it occurred to me, like, no one else is standing outside. Everyone's waiting inside because it's warm inside. And it's just like, it's just the things like that I didn't even think about. So the remaining 27 hours and 45 minutes, it didn't snow for 4 hours of it. And that was it. And that weather is bullshit.
It sounds like you were more prepared than a lot of your trips.
It turns out that Vans are not great shoes for tromping through the snow in.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It also turns out that that's like the best shoes I have to tromp through the snow anyway. So I had cold feet every time we were outside.
Do your Vans have any kind of grip?
No, but the only time I fell was actually into the car I was trying to back into because it was really icy. And so I'm like, I knew I was holding under the door and my feet slipped and I went ass first into the seat, an inch and a half below my butt. I'm like, well, that was, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to be careful with the shoes that I put on when it's snowy and icy, because I have some shoes, had, I guess, past tense, because, the shoes that had the worst grip were my Docs that I had for forever. But I recently, like, just for Christmas, got new vegan Docs and they have some grip. Oh. So now I can't say that, but yeah, anytime I wore my Docs, like I like without thinking and try to get, cause we have these wooden stairs. And that's how we get down to the car. So like anytime I went down those stairs, if it hadn't been snowed or if it was raining or it was any like snowy, icy, slushy, whatever, like I'd have to like go one step at a time and like be balancing like every step of the way, or I could legitimately fall on my ass and slide down the stairs. And it happened enough times that as soon as I'm out there, I'm like, right. And like, I have this sort of like paranoid fear now, like every time I hit those stairs and it's like wet at all, like, okay, like carefully take one step at a time. Yeah.
I wore you know, khaki pants, and they were not very heavy, so I felt like I was just like standing outside in like just my jacket and nothing on below my waist, because it offered no wind protection. No, it was cold. My socks, you know, were
kind of like long john weather.
I guess if I owned long johns, I would have worn them, packed them, figured out how to put them on. There's a lot of steps in this process that would
just like they're just like pants. It's not like there's no figuring out. Hopefully,
I mean, I've had to layer. I've had a layer in the cold before, so that wouldn't have been foreign to me, but it just, like, planning ahead for the cold weather obviously is, I don't travel to cold places.
I don't Except have that you do to. Occasionally, like you have traveled.
Oh, I know, this places. Is a pattern for me. Yeah. I travel to cold places and I don't know how to, like, organize my life in cold places, and as a result, I am cold. That's it, like, you know, I haven't gotten frostbite. I haven't died. So
it takes quite a bit to get frostbite.
I don't know, man. We had to like walk out to the headstone, and it was maybe 200 yards from where the cars were parked. Those were like walking, like they had cleared a path, but there were more people than could stand in the path around. So I'm standing in the snow and I'm like watching it fall in on my feet, you know, cause it's deeper than my ankles. And I'm like, I might freeze to the ground here. Like, would I just take my shoes off and walk back without shoes and then take my wet socks off? Like, I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with this. I thought maybe I'd become like a fixture there. Maybe they could bronze me. I could pose victoriously or something. I don't know.
This is our patron saint of perpetual mourners, Gary. Saint Gary.
Why is that scarf wrapped so tightly around his face while you can see his eyeballs? Well... he wasn't prepared for the cold.
It's Columbus.
Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend a good pair of shoes or boots if you do live in a colder climate. I held off for a while, and then when I finally invested in a pair, it was totally worth it. Because soggy feet, turns out they make you pretty grumpy.
It's just, so cold. So cold. My feet are actually cold talking about this. My toes are cold, and it's 74 degrees where I sit.
Nope.
Yep.
Boo.
Yeah.
So, orbiculum.
Orbiculum.
Is it a kind of handheld sander? Pass me that orbiculum sander. I think that's close.
It's specifically used in the circus, I believe. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're serious or not.
I'm really good at balderdash.
There's a Kickstarter game that
called Orbiculum?
I know, called Pineapple. That I just learned about. If you are watching this today, campaign's probably still going. It's a game. It's sort of like
Pineapple Kickstarter.
It's sort of like Truth or Dare, except instead of dares, it's sort of like Three Truths and a Lie, except it's everybody gets a card, and the card either has a pineapple, or it has a apple with a pine needle stuck in it, or it has some sort of a hybrid. Like half and half, and then there's the person, and then somebody, there's a person asking questions, and the person asks a question like, you know, what was the weather like last time you were in Ohio? And so if you have a pineapple, you tell the truth. Weather was snowy and cold, and I didn't have the right shoes, and I almost froze to the airport waiting area. If the card that you have is the apple with the pine needle sticking out of it, then you lie. Say, the weather was fantastic. It was the summer, and it was really, really warm. And the dude that plays the Fonzie came up and gave me a hug. And if it's a hybrid, then you have to tell the truth, but tell the truth from a fictional universe. So like, it was really, really cold. And this dude on the airplane was like taking off his socks and like flipping them around in the airplane, and like kept making comments to me. And he sold shower curtain rings in the airport, and I don't really understand what that was about. But he ended up like not getting his rental car, and we ended up having to share a rental car for like several days and traveling there. Planes, trains, and automobiles. I don't know why balderdash is where I was going with that. It seemed like it had contextual relationship to the show. It was a similar sort of,
I like the sound of that.
Yeah,
I feel like it might depend on who I play with though.
Yeah, we in this family don't have very many party games. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, there is some sort of a gathering of people, of adults generally, wherein it would be nice to have a party game that didn't suck and wasn't Cards Against Humanity.
Yes.
And so we've decided that we need to invest in some party games.
Yeah. Are party games always like conversation-inducing games, or can they be like Donuts for Donuts is a fun game. I feel like it's a party game because it's a short, simple learn game, but it's not like a dialogue.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I think the thing that makes a party game, I mean, the conversation is definitely a thing, but there's also needs to be like sort of a low barrier to entry, because a lot of people only play party games. And they do so because, like, they don't have the patience for, like, you know, a Euro board game.
I mean, like, Sushi Go is a good one, you know.
Yeah, like there's, but game. I think there's like, there's a definite in my the way that I would define a party game. There's a definite like lean towards like games that are like conversation starters or induce like just socialization like as part of the game,
right,
rather than it being really, I mean, those games
I would play a Bernie too, Sanders but, board game.
So we've reached that time.
I'm sorry, y'all. I couldn't help myself.
I know.
But I would. I mean, I really would. I think it would be fascinating. Orbiculum.
I think it would get old fast. Orbiculum is another word for a crystal ball.
Oh.
Come on, Chris.
Yeah, right. Like, right? Like, of the three people here, the two people that should know what a crystal ball is.
But I had never heard that. I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
I feel like this is a great example of... So is his name Randall Monroe, XKCD? Like, you know, awesome. You're one of the 10,000 people today, like on the learning something new. Like, this is an exciting one. I feel like this is actually like a one that I could like refer to and get people excited about without having to set up.
I mean, we have some orbiculums upstairs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, if you gaze into your orbiculum, like immediately people know what you're talking about and have learned a new word. This is a fun one. This is a fun one.
Let's see. I'm gonna skip. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was gonna skip to Danette's contact or email.
Yeah, do that.
So she says, "I'm really enjoying Gary's questions. Would love to hear some from Chris. Congrats on your speedy correct answers lately. Maybe this is a sign that Gary and Chris should also submit topics. I'd love to see how Allison does at the guessing end of things. It's always fun to listen to the three of you banter while I'm making dinner, even if it does get a little dev heavy. Thanks for the informative entertainment."
Ooh, I'm talking about
informative entertainment. That's what we've made it as informative entertainment. You're welcome, Danette. Thank you for listening. You're our second fan. The first one is on the show.
You're our number second fan.
Number second.
I would actually like Danette to write back in and talk more about these dinners, because we didn't cover enough food in this episode.
It's true. So. It's true. Yeah.
Like, I just would... What do you like cooking? And talk through a recipe or something. Also, my laptop apparently needs a new battery because it says it's going to go to sleep unless plugged into a power outlet. So, So maybe I'll make it to the end.
It'll be a race.
Maybe not. Gaze into your orbiculum and see if I will be here in 4 minutes.
What do you
think?
They
don't work like that, do they?
What do you think is the most underappreciated figure skating move? Because I'm such an expert in figure skating maneuvers, I'm just gonna say a sow cow.
Here's the thing.
Because that's the one that I can name.
When I watch figure skating, I appreciate, like, there's figure skating, there's ice dancing. I appreciate the work these folks have put in. And it's one of those things where, like, as a layperson, like, looking at this, like, and not being, having this inside knowledge, it's just impressive as hell that people can, number one, identify the difference in these spinny things they do.
Yeah.
Like, between a double and a triple, and I go, I just slow it down and, like, count them. And secondly, they can just, like, tell you exactly how and what part of the body and the part of their anatomy they need to keep tighter the next time they do. It's really a fascinating thing. So, high level respect, no idea how to answer the question.
Yeah, I don't know how to I don't know how to rank something as being overrated or underrated with regards to figure skating.
I think the move where they just balance on one leg and hold another leg out, like, very, like, parallel to the ice while still skating and moving around. I feel like that's not a real wow move in ice skating, but to me, I think that's super impressive.
You know, I wonder too though, like, in my inline skating days, I just felt like I had it going on when I could skate with, like, on two wheels, like one on, you know, toe on one skate and then heel on the other skate. I wonder if I could have done that, like, on one skate and leaned forward and stuck my leg out. I'm pretty certain I would have fallen forward and, like, eaten the gravel.
Probably. Because there's, you know, a fair amount of balance that needs to be. Need to be doing yoga, Gary.
Yeah, I've done a bit of yoga in my life. I just got rid of my inline skates, my most recent pair. When the kids started riding bikes, because I said, this is a combination that will cause me to break bones. Mm. I'm no spring chicken. Or winter. I'm not even a chicken at all.
Regardless of season. That's true.
Yeah. Shocker. News flash. You're right here first. I'm binary.
Ignore the feathers, y'all. It's a.
Describe your favorite movie's plot in 5 words.
Space, 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 space.
But yeah, but we can't tell what movie that is from just that.
I feel like you could describe
Apollo 13.
Well, oh gosh, I feel like now I want to do this. Like, describe space movies in 5 words that are all space. Like, you could just emphasize space in different ways. Like, Apollo 13 would be like, space, space, space! Space!
Space!
And that'd be it. Like, you'd be done. I would watch that podcast. Or whatever you do with podcasts. Consume it.
Okay.
Eat the rich.
Less than a minute. Less than a minute. I will do this. Okay. So. Two words. Record store. DJ. Mixtapes.
High Fidelity?
I could see it. I could see it in my head, and I couldn't remember the name of it. I could see the cover of it.
At first, I was like, Empire Records? And then I was like, no.
No. Right. Look. Empire Records or High Fidelity?
Yeah, I know. That's why I was just like, no, don't say Empire Records. That's not a thing.
I should watch that. I haven't watched that in 2 years.
Empire Records or High Fidelity?
Oh, High Fidelity. High Fidelity. Yeah.
Empire Records is the poor, like, tween version of High Fidelity.
Empire Records has the scene, though, where, I don't remember who, shaves her head and then attempts suicide, right?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
There's also a scene in The Royal Tenenbaums where a character attempts suicide, and I don't remember what song is playing there, but in my head, they're the same scene, even though they're not. They're totally different. Actors in different Tenenbaums, settings.
It's Elliot Smith, but
yeah, that's an intense movie.
Yeah,
but
I really like Wes Anderson movies generally.
I do too. I Wes Anderson, I think, has this.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.